Welcome to another installment of the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series, sponsored by TheAuthorsEdge.com. And today we are talking with Warren Whitlock from BookMarketingStrategy.com. Warren is known as the Marketing Results Coach, and his mission is to help authors and other businesses improve the results of their marketing programs. He's a number one best-selling author, a publisher, and the editor of his blog, which is at DailyWarren.com, which is focused on book marketing. He's also an entrepreneur outside of the publishing industry, has several offline businesses and internet properties. He started his career in broadcast advertising, and he's taken those same strategies he learned into direct mail and other media. And over the past decade, Warren's taught thousands of small businesses, authors, and individuals how to use direct marketing principles to promote their product or service, including their book. He started a trade association for manufacturers, and he served on several executive boards. And as I said, he maintains a website where you can get basically a free book marketing course, and that's over at bookmarketingstrategy.com. And Warren and I basically talked about how authors can sort of learn to see beyond their books and to almost build a business around the book, whereas the book sort of becomes the beginning of how you're going to reach people, as opposed to, you know, the end result. So it should be really eye-opening, very enlightening interview. And so without further ado, let's get to my interview with Warren Whitlock. Okay, so I have Warren Whitlock here on the line from bestsellerauthors.com. Warren, welcome.
Hello, glad to be with you.
Glad to have you. I really appreciate you agreeing to do the interview. And now, Warren, as we were kind of chatting, I think that we share a very similar kind of view about what authors maybe should be doing with their knowledge and with their expertise and with their books that maybe they're not doing. And I think one of those is basically that a lot of authors really don't see themselves as being in business. They kind of see, you know, maybe they spent a year or more even writing this book, and they kind of see that as the end of the road. But you have a little bit of a different view of that, right? I mean, you think that books should be used basically, you're famous for saying, as lead generators. So what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, you can... You know, write a book. I hope anybody that wants to write a book goes ahead and writes it. You know, I think that's a wonderful thing to get down your thoughts or put your research or whatever it is you'd like to share with the world in a book. But most successful authors, financially successful, and I'm talking about most of them. Obviously, we know the myth, the story out there that you can write a book that's so good that you know, it'll change your life and make you lots of money, and they'll beg you to write more books, and that's all you do for the rest of your life. You know, and that's fine. That's such a small minority of the cases. Let me speak about, you know, what I think of reality as being by far the majority of the cases. A successful author, they all tell me that they make the majority of their money because they're an author, not off of the book. So if most of the money you're making as an author is from your book, or what you're making totally isn't enough, you should be looking at the business around the book.
Right. So if most of the money is coming from your book, you're doing it the wrong way, basically. And unless you're like a Stephen King or, you know, somebody like that, like people like to say.
I hate to use the word should or wrong in discussing this because, you know, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of different ideas of what they want to do. It depends on what your goals are. But if your goal is to maximize the revenue that you get from being an author, I'd say it would make sense that the majority of your money come from something other than the book.
Right. And I also think, I mean, not just in terms of, tell me if you agree or disagree, but not just in terms of financially, but, you know, the vast majority of authors have as one of their major, if not the major goal, which is to reach as many people as possible. And the more you expand beyond your book, the more people you're going to start reaching.
Well, yeah. I mean, once you get away from your major goal being to, you know, get your book out and have that book there, and then somebody just pay you and you go on to the next project. I mean, that's what a writer does. But if you're an author and you want to be published, you want to be known, you got to have some kind of goal that goes beyond that. And if you're able to reach millions or billions of people, the book is just one of the tools that you use. And it's a good one. I mean, I think it could be the best tool.
Right. Right. Now, part of this, of course, you know, if you're going to go beyond your book, like we're talking about, you need what would be called a back-end product. Now, I know that you talk about this a little bit, and maybe a lot of people who are listening to this don't even know what a back-end product is. Maybe could you just kind of describe what that, you know, the theory behind creating these other products to complement or supplement your book?
Sure. Yeah, in fact, I usually don't even refer to the back-end products unless it's, you know, someone that's used to using those terms. What I say is the business around the book. Okay. For some people, let's just take a speaker, for instance. You give speeches, you get paid to give speeches. You use the book to position yourself so that you get paid more for speaking, or you're able to speak to a larger audience. If you are in the movies, if you're producing movies or a star of a movie or something, the book helps sell more seats to the movie. But I have clients where the business that they are in is consulting, and the fees they're getting go up because they're an author or a best-selling author. They be able to add that to their card. And you know, the idea that the book is a card really is you know, acknowledging that there's the most of the people that know about your book or even buy your book are not going to read the whole book. And so you influence a whole lot more people beyond those that are able to read through the book cover to cover, which is a very small minority of the people who know about your book.
Right. Yeah, I've heard it said many times that a book is the best business card in the world to leave behind.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the numbers. First of all, I'm sure you've already discussed the numbers of you know, manuscripts to get to a book, to get to the numbers to get on store shelves, and the odds are really against you. And that's why, you know, you've arrived when you do get a book that's out there and published. And so that, you know, you've accomplished something. But because there's a lot of people who try and don't get that far. A lot of people are intending to write a book someday and don't get there. So getting the book out is an accomplishment. That's great. But a very, very small minority of those books get sold. Lots of books get returned. And then the books that are left, one study I saw said that they found 1,000 people that had read a book. It was a very big bestseller. And out of the 1,000 people, that, you know, it got down to well under 1% of the people actually read the whole book. And that's from the buyers. And, you know, many open the book, read part of it, think that they're going to read the book, put it on a shelf, whatever. But you know, those people are all influenced too. And then there's the other thing is we display our books on the shelf. Somebody comes in, we show it to them. Those people who read the book talk about it. I must quote books that I read, you know, 10 times a day in normal conversation. And, you know, most of the time people respond, oh, I haven't heard about that book. And so the influence of a book goes much, much farther than just the people that read it cover to cover.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting statistic that you bring up, because I did actually just recently, a few days ago, see something about that. I forget what I was looking at, but I think, you know, it's well under 10% of people who buy a book actually read it, which I just found amazing.
Yeah, and then there's the idea, think about a book, all the books you read last year, and how would you like to have to give me a synopsis of each of those right now, or any one that I picked from a list, you know, remembering what's in it. So to actually get somebody to read the entire book and then take action based on that, the mistake most authors make is they come to me and they'll say, well, we're going to work on this back end or other business or other products, whatever it is, after we get the book. And I just kind of laugh because, it's, you know, you put it all into the book, and most people are never going to get that far. You know, if it's in the last chapter of the book, you're not going to reach very many people, and hoping that they're going to read that and then, you know, follow up, find you from your contact information in the book. You see some of these promotionally marketing-minded people now putting a URL for a website on the bottom of every page. You know, they call that the bounce back. It's not that it doesn't work. It's just that it's such a small fraction of the amount of traffic and recognition that you can get from being an author. And so I like to focus on making the author famous, developing the business around the book, rather than say, let's see how many more people we can get to read through the whole book. Don't get me wrong. I'm an author and a heavy reader myself, and I very much care about the content and the quality of the book. But that being said, I'm a realist. I know that in marketing, we have to market to those 90% of the people that aren't going to read the book, and an even greater number of people that are never going to buy the book. And we have to market to those people and get known by them, and, you know, forgive them for the fact that they're not going to read our entire book, no matter how good it is.
Right. Let's try and move away from depressing all the authors out there who now think nobody's going to read their book.
The good news is a lot of people are going to find out about you because you have the book.
Right.
Just don't count on them. Don't count on them while read it. Use the book for the great marketing vehicle that it is.
Right. Now, what are I was going to ask you a little bit more about back-end products, but maybe you could just sort of describe what you mean by creating a business around a book. What are some of the things, you know, maybe an author who's never really thought of this before, what are some of the things to kind of, you know, get them thinking about other things they could do about this business they could create around their book?
Well, first of all, if you're writing a fiction book or, you know, a book for children, then, you know, a lot of this is just not going to be very useful to you. You can do the same thing. You know, the money made from the Harry Potter series is much greater than the royalties off of the book. So the same marketing principles apply, just not as well. And then there's also reference books where the book is, its primary purpose is to be a guide or, you know, a store of knowledge, and that sort of thing. There's still a place for some of that. But the majority of the books we work with are nonfiction. I call them how-to books, but not necessarily, you know, in the how-to genre. It could be a biography of somebody, which is an inspiration to somebody else, and I still call that kind of like an, you know, that's a, it's nonfiction, but it's not heavy on being a reference guide, which, you know, those books still serve some purpose there. And they still have the same kind of marketing. So when we get down to that, just the general self-help, you know, read this book, you can be like me, kind of any kind of book like that. And it may be, you know, how to fix your Pinto, how to speak Spanish, or, you know, how I had a fabulous life and you can too. They're pretty much the marketing principles are the same. There's most of us don't want to sit and read a book and then apply it. And let's face it, if you really need the knowledge and you're just missing a piece of information, we're in the age of Google. You type it into a computer, the Wikipedia, and you're going to find out the knowledge you need. You don't need to go to a book for that. People buy the books for other emotional reasons. And most of us, in trying to get information, want a different kind of modality. We like to sit in a class. We like to watch a video. We like to listen to somebody on a teleseminar or an audio series like this. And the experience that we want is different. And the more close, what we found is the more closely that somebody works with the mentor or the person as the author, more prestige that person has, more expertise, better known they are, the more they get for, that experience. When you climb to the top of a mountain to see a guru, usually by the time you get there, you're sitting one on one. And so we try to set up models like that. So, yeah, there's a mass audience. Everybody finds out about it. A book is low entry level. Go into a class with a group of people. You can sell for a lot more. And then ultimately, consulting and one-on-one work is the highest and best use. And it all ties in to you can do it better if you're known as an author. So I don't build a business around a book. I build a business and use the book as the focal point. It's just the fact that you are an author helps in almost any kind of business.
Right, right. And I don't know if you you know the story about Neil Strauss. He wrote that book, The Game, about you know, these pickup artists. And of course, he was very successful. I think it was a New York Times bestseller. But then, with the help of some internet marketers, he launched a not quite sure what it was actually, a DVD series or something like that. But I think he did a 1.4 million in sales in 4 hours or something like that. So I think that's a pretty good example of you know, building a business around your book a little bit.
Well, so. And then ultimately what you don't see there is that somebody that bought whatever that product was saying, hey, I really need help. I have money. Neil, help me.
Right.
And we don't always hear all those stories, but there's always a pinnacle. It's always somebody wants to spend some more money. Do not ever underestimate how much money somebody will spend to spend that amount of time with you. I talk to people who have a busy practice as a professional, and they say, well, you know, I only have so many hours I can bill. I can only see so many patients. I want to use the book. You know, coach says I can only spend so much time with people. They want to leverage that. And it doesn't matter what business you're in. There is some way to do that. But ultimately, two things happen. You leverage, 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 and then at some point there's somebody that wants one-on-one. And, you know, let's take Mark Victor Hansen, one of the creators of the Chicken Soup series, 150 million books sold, made, you know, who knows how much money in addition to that because of that position. He takes private coaching clients, doesn't advertise it, probably can't get in, probably takes a whole lot of money. But, you know, I know somebody who's coached by Mark Victor Hansen. And, you know, and again, it's, I don't know how much money you have to throw at somebody to get them to do that. But at some point it's there. You get a chance to go, you know, Tony Robbins, you know, you spend enough money and I'm like, he's got $1 million coaching program. And so there's no limit to what you can do. I think the key that I say is the publicity of being an author and being known as that is what this all hinges on. Tony Robbins would not be getting $1 million if he was just, you know, a hardworking person in a cubicle who, you know, went home at night and then tried to help people. He could have the same exact knowledge, but he wouldn't be able to have the same kind of impact because it's not really because he's been there and done that, though that helps. But really what it is he can't pass that knowledge on to somebody because they're just not exposed to him in a way where they're going to come to him and want it. And so, you know, it's easy to charge $1 million when you've got too many people trying to pay you
$700,000. Right.
It's a building process. But, yeah, anytime you give up and say, I've written it in the book, it's there. You know, and, of course, this is why in, you know, there's a couple of reasons why we're told in a publicity class, you know, don't go on a TV interview and say, and refer to your book. Well, the practical reason is it makes for bad television. The truth is, if you're referring people to your book, you're never going to reach them. You have to tell them exactly what's in the book and assume that they didn't read it.
Right. And I think the other thing is, too, I mean, you could conceivably tell people absolutely everything that's in your book, and they'll still, I mean, if they want it, they're still going to go buy it, even if they know everything, because they're always going to think there's more.
Sure, sure. And your story about the $1.4 million and a launch book product. And, of course, there's a whole lot of people sharing that. So it's not just, you know, he's decided one day I'm going to launch this product and he made $1.4 million.
There's a massive, massive, massive launch behind that. Yeah. A lot of big brains behind that.
And, you know, whether he netted 29 cents or the majority of the money is the issue here is the fact that the market is out there wanting more. More and more and more. We know that's a market. The game is a pickup artist, a man desperate to you know, get a relationship on whatever level, is going to spend any amount of money on that. If you feel your children are in peril, you'll spend any amount of money on that. You know, if you want to get a better golf game, it doesn't matter what your handicap is. I suppose if you're shooting a zero, then I guess what the 18 would be the lowest you could get in golf, but until you get to 18, somebody's going to pay more and more, and actually even more money. Tiger Woods has a coach, you know,
right.
And sure he doesn't worry about how big the check is he writes to his coach. He worries about how good the coach is. Everybody in those markets will go for more and more and more. We all want to make more money, have better health, have better relationships. And so it's an insatiable desire. And when there's people out there who are sitting on way too much money, it's not that it's too much, a lot more money than you and I can imagine, right, having. And if they say, I'd like this and I'm willing to throw $100 million at it, then, have something to offer them. So the, what I often tell authors is that if I get done reading your book, I love it, I love you, I want more, what do you have to sell me? Right. And a DVD is like just barely scratching the surface. Though you're right in saying that, everybody that can put together the material for a book can put they take that same material, teach it in a course, recorded on DVDs, a very easy way to transfer a book into a course is if you have the book, and in fact, most of the books I see have actually come from people teaching the same things in other ways. But if you don't have that, you take, the chapters of your book, you make them sections of a course, and you teach that course either in sections or over time, or, you hold a live seminar and you teach it to that, you videotape that becomes DVDs. That's the same material transformed into a different kind of experience that most people enjoy watching a DVD more than reading a book. It's just, we've been raised on TV. And so they like that. And most people will pay more to experience that seminar live than to watch it on a DVD because they want that, that kind of experience. The interesting thing is I've conducted these seminars. I've taught at these seminars and I participated in them many different ways. And, ultimately, a guy will come, he'll plunk down a couple of $1,000s, sit through that, and at the end, say, this was wonderful, and the only reason you even get that comment out of him is that you went to the back of the room and said, hey, how was it?
Right.
they're just sitting there thinking, gosh, you could have watched this on a DVD, saved yourself the hotel and the flight and the higher entry fee, but people want that experience. That's a few, like most people, though, know the real value at attending a seminar is the other people that you meet that are there. Because whenever you get into a room where, everybody in the room has spent $5,000 to be there for the weekend, the quality of the people you meet are going to be pretty good. It's not just that they're rich and they're better. It's that they have invested in, they care that much to sit through the thing. And so the conversations afterwards at dinner and on the breaks and things like that are the very best. And in fact, the networking value of that is, usually in excess of whatever is being taught. And that being the case, don't hold back. Whatever is in your book is probably worth doing a 3-day seminar. Bringing the people who really want to be pros at learning and doing whatever it is that you teach. And, there's a lot of ways to go out and create the product. What I'm saying is to make sure that before you go looking at, hey, how much can I afford to sell this book when I'm only going to make, 25 cents or $2.50 a copy? That's not the point. The other thing we get all the time is people telling us, well, I'm going to sell this book on my website because I don't want to be paying Amazon 55% of sales.
Right.
Well, if you're looking at the few shekels you can make per book sold, you're looking at it wrong. For one, I don't know of any surefire thing where you can go out and, assuming that your time is worth anything, using your time and money, your resources, I don't know of anything that's a sure thing that's going to return enough money in books sold to make it worthwhile. People who sell 1 million copies have 1 million copy marketing plan, and quite often they spend a lot. Now, There are plenty of hits. There are people that make money off of it. And the publishing world would love to tell you that they do that because, let's face it, publishers make money distributing books. It works for them. Bookstores make money distributing books. But authors
don't.
You don't have the scale. A publisher can put out 50 books this month and just see which one sells. So I try to focus everything on how we can promote the author, and I'd be happy to share with you a few of the the things that people can do, especially ones that can start out with a limited budget.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to ask you about that.
Good. Well, first of all, I do a course on this that is free for any author that wants it. It's at bookmarketingstrategy.com is the website. And at bookmarketingstrategy.com, you just fill in your name and email address and essentially the emails. And here's what we cover. First of all, you need to know where you're at. You need to know, you know, if you type your name in, and we call it the vanity search, you know. I type Warren Whitlock in quotes into a Google search and see what comes up. You know, I'm going to see a quantity of sites that come up. And it's not a matter of how many or what there is. And, you know, it's that you monitor this and find out. So, you know, if I had 10,000 today and, you know, next week I have 20,000, I've done well. I've been mentioned someplace. Right. If your name is common and there's, you know, a baseball player with your name, you're going to have to take that into account. So, you know, you can do some tricks like put in minus baseball in the search and find out. Google Alerts, again, in the course, I'll tell you exactly where the links are for this. Google Alerts sends you an email every time somebody mentions something about you. You got to know where you are to start off with. Next, you got to be part of the process and putting content up on the web. I can't tell you how often I meet an author who says, well, I've just been too busy to blog. Well, today, majority of reporters read blogs, you know, and majority of the people that are heavy readers are reading blogs. And, you know, a blog was started out to be a weblog, just somebody writing about their diary about their life online. Every MySpace account comes with a blog. So if you have a MySpace account, you already have a blog. There's plenty of other free services. But, you know, if you do it with some kind of a purpose of posting on a regular basis, then people who want to follow you can find something. And that probably should be tied into whatever website has your name or your book.
Right.
And the really cool about that, about the thing about that is that at that point, you got a chance to actually interact with people. Because today, marketing's not about how many people you can just blast. It's how many people you can have a relationship with. And if people, you know, people are looking for meaningful relationships. And if they find out that they can post a comment on an author's blog on a subject that they care about, especially one that they bought the book on, or even if they haven't yet bought the book, and the author will comment back to them and, you know, make that part of the conversation. For every person that does that, there's probably, you know, 50 to 100 people that read it. But, you know, and they get the value out of it. But the main thing is they all know that you respond. So you set up a blog, you have the comments, you participate in other social networks like that. And, you know, from then you get into actually going out and publicizing, doing media, interviews on other blogs, interviews on internet radio. Gosh, there's 10,000 interviews a day on talk radio. And there are almost that many talk radio shows on the internet.
Right.
There's constantly interviews going on someplace, and they're looking for people. Once you get known for having expertise, you get asked to do these things. But don't get started on that until you have a blog, you have a presence, and you know whether or not any of this is doing good. It gets very discouraging to do an interview. For instance, today we're doing an interview. There's, you know, it's unlikely I'm going to hear anything about what you've done with this interview, although, you know, it does happen. But, you know, tomorrow, if I'm thinking about it, hey, was it worth spending the time with Chris? It's not really motivating. But when you start tracking and finding out which of these things appear on the web, you can see it. It actually happens. If you go and do a search for my name, you will see interviews that I've done. And again, I'm not much of a public figure. I'm teaching this stuff. You know, it just grows and grows and grows. The other social networks, Twitter.com, my book is at TwitterHandbook.com, but just Twitter, join Twitter, get involved, get those conversations going on, and listen to what people are saying, and when appropriate, make a comment. When you read a blog post, make a comment. If it's something you care about, it doesn't need to be a book that you're writing, you know, make a comment, you know, 2-3 lines. Don't say great post. Put something real, you know, something like, I liked what you had to say about German baskets. I think I'm going to use that for my daughter, You know, that's very real, authentic.
And that's actually how we met. If you remember, I put a comment on your blog.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, and you know, we have those kind of conversations constantly. I have in a day, you know, at least 100 of those conversations going on. Right. Because they're little tiny things. On Twitter, it's limited to 140 characters. You can't really get carried away and have a long conversation when you're limited to 140 characters. And then as soon as possible, I move those relationships off of Twitter. But you know, it's just the idea is with today's technology, we're able to have all. And everything I've talked about thus far is entirely free. So there's no limit. There's no reason why anybody with computer access, let's say, I suppose you could go down to the library to get computer access, but there's no reason why anybody today can't get enough access to be doing this. I mean, if you've got it, if you've got the wherewithal to be writing a book, you definitely have the ability to do all of this. And it's not something you hire out. You don't have an assistant do it. You don't do it when you find time. It's just got to become part of your life. I like to say in the social media space, it's a lot now like a lot of executives and professionals and people that have a little bit of success in life at all. We think we're very busy. It's like when the telephone came out. When the telephone first came out, an executive didn't make a phone call. He had somebody else make a phone call.
Right.
Then it got to be where, you know, the game where, you know, they set up the call and then the executive got on the line. And today, who would think of having, you know, this needs to be done, you know, assign somebody to write it down and take it to a person to make a phone call. Social media has a much faster acceptance rate. We all are carrying a phone. We can send a text message while we're waiting in line, waiting for the taxi or the limo driver, depending on where you are in life, you know, sitting on the plane before it takes off. We all have those few spare moments that we can communicate and touch people and more important, read what they're saying. And when you get that conversation going, great things happen. And so because of all of this, those people who get a book done and get it known and get it selling stand out even more. So, you know, the bad news is they're not, you know, not everybody that needs to know what you have to say is going to read it in a book. The good news is the book is more and more important and they're going to be with us for a long time. You know, I can predict the future. In 500 years, books will still be important.
Right.
And how do we know that? We have proof. Captain Kirk on the Starship Enterprise goes into his quarters, pulls out an original copy of Moby Dick and puts on reading glasses. Yeah. So we know they're going to be there. I mean, what more proof do you need than Star Trek?
Right.
And so books become more and more reverenced, and held in esteem as they become less and less necessary to convey information. And maybe 1,000 years from now, not, but I think for hundreds of years to come, we've all been raised that the book is very important. And so it's still a great accomplishment to get a book out because of, you know, the your ability to focus and put that knowledge into one place. And, you're going to still be respected for having done that. But the key is to spend most of your time on marketing the author rather than marketing the book.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to sum it up, I think. And Warren, it's been a while since you gave the URL where they could get that free course. It's bookmarketingstrategy.com.
That's correct. Book marketing strategy. Strategy is when there's no plurals in or anything. Bookmarketingstrategy.com. My website is bestsellerauthors.com, and feel free to contact me through there. I'm on Twitter with my full name, Warren Whitlock. And I am looking to hear from authors and what they are doing. And, I do my best to answer, you know, all the queries that I get personally.
Great. Perfect, Warren. I really appreciate you, doing the interview, and you are going to hear about this interview. You're going to find it online somewhere. I guarantee it.
Good. I was just referring to maybe tomorrow. I won't know that it's appeared any place.
You don't know my powers, Warren.
Who knows? I may just turn on the TV in 10 minutes and find out that there was a hidden camera during all of it.
Right.
But,
Just keep doing it. I mean, you add these things up, they make a difference. I have an author who had a self-published book, went to, the book wound up in Turkey. He had no distribution there at all, where somebody read it, referred it to a cousin who lived in Chicago, happened to work for a Fortune 100 company, and it wound up being a $1 million consulting contract. Book, wow. Great power. I mean, I read a book called Diabetes Danger. It so influenced me. I didn't read it because I was worried about diabetes. I read it as a pro. You know, I wanted to write copy about the book. I had no intention of changing my lifestyle in any way. But it hit me. 6 weeks later, I was 35 pounds down. The power of a book is there. So regardless of the, you know, what I'm saying about, you know, you're selling the business and the author, not the book. Ultimately, books are still a wonderful way to convey information. And more important, if somebody didn't get their message out in some way, those kind of things would never happen. So just keep at it. It does pay off.
Right. Great advice, Warren. Thanks again. And we'll speak soon. You've been listening to another installment of the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series sponsored by TheAuthorsEdge.com. Once again, my guest today was Warren Whitlock. You can visit Warren at bookmarketingstrategy.com and download his free book marketing course. Once again, my name is Chris Simmerall. My guest today was Warren Whitlock. You can download the rest of the interviews in the Monsters of Book Marketing series at www.theauthorsedge.com.